Nasser Abu Farha joins me in the studio today. He is director of Canaan Fair Trade, which is a Jenin-based Palestinian firm committed to practicing fair trade along its supply chain. Established in 2004, Canaan markets products of Palestine that are produced by the now more than 1,700 small farmers organized in informal cooperatives and represented in the Palestine Fair Trade Association. He is also the chair of the Palestine Fair Trade Association, which is a national Palestinian union of fair trade producing cooperatives, traders, and processors based in Jenin. They promote fair and equitable trading principles through education and empowerment and capacity building programs. And also, Nasser has a PhD in cultural anthropology from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, which is where he has traveled from to be here in Santa Cruz. Hello, Nasser.
Hello, thank you. Thanks a lot for having me here, and hello, Santa Cruz.
Thanks so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it. So maybe we can start off, we've already heard a little bit of details about the Canaan Fair Trade and the Palestine Fair Trade Association, and I want to get into more later, but maybe we can start off if you can just tell us how long you've been in the United States, and you went to school here in Detroit and in Madison, and just where you're traveling to now. Why are you in Santa Cruz? What are you doing here? Where are you going to go next? Where did you come from before here?
Okay. Well, I've come from Madison, Wisconsin. That's where I finished my PhD, and actually where I got the fair trade idea in the first place and took it to Palestine. And I have been for the last 3 years, most of my time in Palestine, but I divide my time between Madison and Palestine. And I'm here this spring to participate in the Green Fest in Chicago, which is an event put up by Co-op America. It's like the Green Fest in San Francisco. It's the first time it's held in Chicago. And we are exhibiting the Canaan Fair Trade products, the Palestine Fair Trade product that are organic and fair trade. And that exhibit is taking place April 19th through the 21st. And while I'm here, I was invited by Reed College in Portland, Oregon, to give a presentation on organic fair trade as an anthropological subject, as a medium for empowerment, social empowerment, political empowerment, and economic empowerment for Palestinian producing communities. And people from Santa Cruz who have been to our fair trade program last harvest hear that I'm coming here, so they asked me to come to Santa Cruz to speak to their community about our program. They were excited last harvest when they visited us, and they wanted more people here to know about it. So that's why I'm here.
And that visit to your facility took place last year, right? Last fall?
Back in November of last year, yes. We have a program called Olive Harvest Volunteers, where we bring internationals to volunteer in the olive harvest in Palestine, and you can participate in this program by connecting with local organizations that bring delegations to our olive growers in November. Center for Nonviolence is here in Santa Cruz is one of those organizations. American Friends Service Committees is another organization that brings delegation. And the program is they accept people for a day, for a week, for 2 weeks to work with a Palestinian family and live with the family and go and harvest olives with them. And also the tour includes participation in the Palestine Olive Harvest Festival that we started this annual tradition. And that's a festival that gathers Palestinian farmers and international solidarity through volunteer programs, and also our distributors of fair trade olive oil around the world all congregate in the Olive Harvest Festival, which is always the first Thursday of November, is the Palestine Olive Harvest Festival in Jenin.
So the way that you were invited to Santa Cruz was that last November, a delegation that was led by Scott Kennedy of the Resource Center for Nonviolence, it was a delegation, I believe it was a Fellowship of Reconciliation delegation.
It's an AFC, American Friends Service Committee, yes.
Okay. They went to your office and also the Olive Press, processing dozens of farmers' fair trade and certified organic olive crop in Jenin, which, by the way, is in the northern West Bank, if folks don't know where Jenin is. The Palestine Fair Trade Association, they went there and visited and saw how farmers were making a living and preserving their families, villages, and their culture by doing this with the olive oil, by having a market for fair trade and certified organic olive oil there. So this is how they ended up inviting you to Santa Cruz, was they went.
Certainly.
They actually went there and saw the place, and Scott Kennedy and the delegation were very impressed by it. So maybe you could tell me how the Palestine Fair Trade Association came into being to begin with. When was it started, and how did that come as an, how was it an idea in the first place, and then how did you make it a reality?
Okay, an idea is by buying coffee at Madison, Wisconsin coffee shops. I had the choice between fair trade and regular coffee, and started investigating what is fair trade and learning about what is fair trade. And I thought, while I was there doing my studies for my PhD in cultural anthropology, wow, this is a concept that would be really great to integrate into Palestine, not because we are like what the fair trade actually is addressing discrepancies and injustices done in the trade process between developing countries and subsidized farming in the industrialized nations, but rather to even realize the trade with Palestine. Fair trade probably the only vehicle where this can be done, because the Palestinian farmer has a lot of hurdles to overcome in order to produce their product under occupation, and even more hurdles to overcome to be able to market with the outside world under conditions of isolation and fragmentation that are imposed on them by the occupation, the Israeli occupation forces. So fair trade as an idea came to my mind while I was studying in Madison, Wisconsin, but when I went back there to do my field work for my doctorate in 2003, so I brought in the fair trade idea with me and started talking about it to other farmers and producers and lobbying support for it and see what we can organize for it. And so it started as an idea in Palestine in 2003, but materialized in Palestine in 2004, and we built co-ops in the Palestinian regions of Jenin and Nablus, Salfit and Ramallah, and we developed guidelines, and we started a network of those co-ops called the Palestine Fair Trade Association, which also includes presses and exporters in it. In other words, we're trying to include all participants in the production and the processing and trade process in one network that is called the Palestine Fair Trade Association.
And how has this affected farmers? How has it improved their lives? You mentioned that Palestinian farmers have many hurdles to produce and then to market their products, including olive oil. Can you talk about some of those hurdles, and can you talk also about how the Palestine Fair Trade Association has made a positive impact?
Certainly. When we started the Palestine Fair Trade Association, Palestinian oil prices were plummeting to very low values, to the point that farmers were actually losing interest in the crop. They were selling at about 7 to 9 shekels a kilo, and that's about $2, less than $2 a kilo. And these were not enough for the maintenance and the cultivation that's required for the crop. And above that, they were not being marketed. So we were able to, in the first year, to market about 30 tons, which is 30,000 liters of this oil. And also we were able to market that and buy it at a minimum price, which we discussed and agreed with the farmers that would be a fair minimum price at 15 shekels a kilo. So buying 30,000 liters at 15 when you can buy it when the market price is 7 to 9 was had its own impact on the market and generated a dynamic in the market that helped bring the price up. Currently, the Palestine Fair Trade Association has 1,700 farmers, but also we were able last year to certify 375 as organic. That added a value to the product, a value that we are returning to the producer, to the farmer. We pay the farmer a 10% fair trade premium above market price now, and we pay them 10% premium for organic above market price, and we also have a minimum price of 15 shekels that we start with. So there is an impact in that we are giving premiums to the farmers, an impact that we are raising the overall price of olive oil in the market. There is an impact by us consolidating the farmers' production in through cooperatives and through networks of the cooperatives and making use of that consolidation to be able to access or provide access to industrialized developed markets. And we had great successes so far in that. We were able to last year to secure a contract with Dr. Brunner's Magic Soap from the United States. And Dr. Brunner's right now, they depend primarily on fair trade olive oil from Palestine in their soap making. So we are selling them about 80,000 liters of olive oil a year. And that this year was the first year. And that's certified organic and certified fair trade olive oil.
Interesting. Dr. Brunner's is using mostly organic fair trade certified olive oil from Palestine?
Yes.
From through the Palestine Fair Trade Association?
Yes.
Interesting. So I want to ask you if you could explain, you might have already done this and maybe I missed it, but if you could go over just a brief definition of what fair trade actually means on the ground to the farmers, what it is, and then how you were certified. How do you get certified fair trade?
Okay. First of all, what it means is that the production process is done through guidelines and transparent practices that are auditable. In other words, we have environmental concerns that we want to make sure that the farmer is implementing. We have workers' rights concerns that we make sure that farmers are implementing. Issues of if there is any discrimination and gender inequality in pay or in accessibility of the jobs. We ensure transparency as far as what the farmer is getting. So there is workers' rights and there is farmers' rights, what the farmer is getting from the trader, the way they are getting the money. Are they paying promptly or are they paying 6 months later? That's part of the fair trade. We ensure that there is prompt payment, and even now we are able to move into advanced payment. We started giving advanced payment to the farmers, and we are making sure that the producer relations are also equitable and fair. We have guidelines for presses, how much they can charge the farmers, how much they have to pay their workers, and so on. And all of that is done in one system. So there is a transparency of respect for entitlements. I mean, it's of course they are these players in the production are in different class structure and social positions between like the buyer in the industrialized nation like Dr. Brunner's or Equal Exchange in the UK. These are one of our examples of our buyers, or Canaan Fair Trade, the exporter in Palestine, or the press owner and the farmer and the worker at the press and the worker at the farmer. All these are at different level, but what we ensure in the process of fair trade that there is no exploitation that is taking place in this production chain. Everybody there getting their entitlement, and those entitlements are also subject to discussion, but in a collective medium that we created for that discussion called the Palestine Fair Trade Association that meets annually through representation to discuss these guidelines and issues of pricing and minimum wages and so on, a minimum price and minimum set wage for workers.
And how do you make sure these things are happening? Do you physically have a certain number of people who go out and make sure these things are happening?
Yes, we do have two. We have two kinds of inspections and certifications. The Palestine Fair Trade Association does its own inspection of every farmer. Every farmer gets inspected, and every press gets inspected. And there are things to check for. I mean, there are two processes of inspections. One for fair trade, and another process of inspection is for organic. And there are farmers who are only in the fair trade program, and there are farmers who are in the fair trade and organic program. And so there are forms that need to be filled out and farms that need to be inspected on site by the PFTA staff. Now, this is one side, and the PFTA is not a certifying body that is recognized internationally, but we do have IMO, Institute of Market Ecology, from Switzerland, that is a recognized international body to grant organic certification and social accountability and fair trade certification. And what they do is they come inspect our inspections and inspect a ratio of the farmers, because our large base producers, they don't inspect every farmer, but they have a ratio structure that they inspect, and they inspect our internal control system, and they audit, like when they inspect Canaan Fair Trade, they audit all of their invoicing and accounting to ensure transparency of what is the farmer getting and what they are paying and so on. So that's how we get our certification internationally.
There's oversight. And what's the name of the Swedish organization again?
IMO, Institute of Market Ecology.
Okay. They are basically overseeing the Palestine Fair Trade.
They are our control manager, what we would say. I mean, we're under their control.
I see. Okay. Yes. So I understand how farmers are getting their olive oil certified fair trade now, but what about organic? How does that work?
The way it works is we are under a program called Smallholder Program. And the Smallholder Program is you establish an internal control system of organic practices on the ground. And we established an internal control committee in Palestine that is managed, co-managed between Canaan Fair Trade, which is the exporter, and the Palestine Fair Trade Association, which is the network of the co-ops. And that committee educates farmers on organic farming. And we have a set guideline. We have an internal control system guideline that they have to implement. And that committee does inspection of every farmer to make sure that they are following the guidelines. And it either certifies a certain farmer or sanctions a certain farmer. Now, what IMO does comes in during the harvest and double checks the work of that committee and inspect a number of the farmers as well through their inspectors directly. And if the program the program could qualify or could be sanctioned, or some farmers could be approved and some farmers would be rejected. And last year we were able to certify 375 farmers of the olive growers are as organic. This year we have a program to increase that number to about 750. And we are moving along the process of fair trade and organic certification into other products like almonds, and we are wheat, organic wheat, because we have couscous done through women cooperatives, and we are also doing sun-dried tomatoes and organic tahini. So we are certifying tomato fields and sesame fields this year.
And what does it mean if they're certified organic, does that mean they're not using any pesticides? They're not, what's the...
They're not using any pesticides. They're not using any fertilizers. They're not using any herbicides. Actually, what...
Synthetic fertilizers?
Yes, synthetic. We are using, like, they use manure, animal mm-hmm. manure, goat mm-hmm. and sheep manure. That's what they use normally. The one thing that really is, most traditional farming practice are organic in nature, but of course, they need certification, and they need to be auditable and certifiable, and that's what we provide. But also, there are some tendency to use herbicides in Palestine, especially that's under the occupation conditions, because sometimes there is a lot of restrictions of movement, and some farmers don't have
the time actually weed or whatever.
Right. And to be able, I mean, there are
actually... They can't get to the field a lot of the time.
Yeah, actually some fields are behind the fences. And mm-hmm. and when they get an opportunity to go, they go and spray herbicides. So otherwise the weeds will become...
Long-term control rather than...
Right. Yeah. So, we are raising awareness to that and advising people away from that and certifying those who don't mm-hmm. use herbicides. But that's in the hills. I mean, in the fields, it's more challenging. When it gets to tomatoes and gets to wheat, they used fertilizers, chemical fertilizers and so on. So now the areas we are starting with these crops, we are starting with areas that traditionally still didn't use fertilizers and bringing a new culture of farming organically.
What's the process to, you have an olive farmer, mm-hmm. and he's part of the Palestine Fair Trade Association. He's bringing his olive oil to you for processing, but he's not yet certified organic. How would you go about getting him certified step by step organic? Would you first go out and inspect to make sure he's using organic practices?
There is a first thing that they would do is fill out something called the farm history form. And the farm history form asks about total detail about their farms, its nature, what's planted, and what inputs has he done in the farm for the last 5 years. And if the farm history qualifies that there was no unallowed inputs in the last 5 years, we put that farmer as a candidate for immediate certification for organic. If he has had any use of chemicals over the last 3 years, we qualify him as organic in conversion. And from there, we send our member of our inspectors from the ICS committee, Internal Control System Committee, that they go and inspect the farm to double check that what he informed us through the form was correct.
So do you do testing of the soil?
If we need to, we do testing of the soil. We don't test every soil. I mean, we have a system of how to, and that's why we have also local cooperatives. Sometimes we actually ask between the farmers to make sure that no chemicals has been used. And sometimes we check the soil, and sometimes we actually send the soil samples to the lab to be tested.
So it's actually the Palestine Fair Trade Association that's also certifying them organic.
It's qualifying them and certifying them, but that certification is validated by an external audit.
The same one as the Fair Trade from Sweden or different one?
Yes, the same one.
Same organization.
Same organization.
And again, it's...
IMO.
IMO, okay.
Yes.
And that stands for...
It's a German, I don't know exactly what it stands for in German, but the name in English, Institute of Market Ecology.
Okay.
And their website is imo.ch, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind listeners that this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. And I'm speaking with Nasser Abu Farha. He is the chair of the Palestine Fair Trade Association, and he's also the director of Canaan Fair Trade. He's from Jenin in Palestine, but he's been in the U.S. for quite some time now. He has a Ph.D. in cultural anthropology from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And one of the things that you're going to be doing soon is going to a green festival, April 19th through the 21st. And
yes.
Where is that again?
Chicago.
Chicago, okay. And the Palestine Fair Trade Association was one of the places that that Scott Kennedy's delegation, Scott Kennedy of the Resource Center for Nonviolence, that their delegation visited last November and saw the Olive Press and the offices of the Palestine Fair Trade Association, which is how Nasser was invited to Santa Cruz to talk to interested folks here about that. So I want to talk a little bit about Canaan Fair Trade. How is that connected to Palestine Fair Trade Association? And if you can explain what that firm is.
Yes. Canaan Fair Trade is a member organization of the Palestine Fair Trade Association. The Palestine Fair Trade Association is a union of all stakeholders in the production and trade process in the fair trade in Palestine. So it is open for farmers' co-ops, for processors like press owners who are implementing guidelines of fair trade, and for exporters who are buying and trading based on fair trade principles and guidelines that are set by PFTA. So Canaan Fair Trade is one of those firms and the primary firm in the project, because right now it is the primary firm that buys the olive oil directly from the farmers and commercialize it and does the product development and bottling and filtering and labeling and actual exporting and connecting with international buyers in Europe and North America.
So basically Canaan Fair Trade is the end, it's a supply chain. It's a firm that actually markets these fair trade organic products that are certified by the Fair Trade Association.
Yeah, it's a product development and export arm of the Palestine Fair Trade Association, but it's not, I mean, that it's a member. I mean, in other words, our membership is open to other fair trade firms to do the same, or with the olive oil product or other products. And Canaan Fair Trade right now is the primary member in that field.
Have you had anyone ask you whether or not there's a conflict of interest between being the chair of the Palestine Fair Trade Association and also at the same time the director of a firm that markets the products that are certified by the PFTA? Has there been anyone who's...
Well, yes, of course. I mean, and it's also something on my mind too. But just being as a founder of the program, that's put me in that position right now, and I don't expect to remain in both positions for, I mean, we have every biannual elections of PFTA. However, once you have transparency and external audit of that transparency by an independent certifying agency like IMO, I think that concern is addressed in that transparency and the external audit, is that that Canaan Fair Trade is actually implementing the guidelines that are set collectively, and more than the guidelines, also implementing what is required by the certification of the international independent certifying body, which is IMO in this case.
And how often does that international certifying body, IMO, how often do they physically come there, inspect the farms, do oversight of the Palestine Fair Trade Association, and how often do they actually...
By regulations, they have to do it once a year. But just because our program is growing and a little bit involved and wide and a little bit complex, they are doing it twice a year. So they're coming in May. They were in November, October. They're coming again in May, and they're coming again in October, November of this year. So there is a continuous relationship between us and them, and between the farmers and them. And they do interview farmers. They do interview workers. They do go to the fields and inspect fields, and they do interview press owners, and they do come and check the books and the operation of Canaan Fair Trade on the ground.
And what is their website again?
IMO.ch.
.ch?
Yes.
Okay. And how do we find the Palestine Fair Trade Association on the internet?
PalestineFairTrade.org.
Okay, PalestineFairTrade.org.
And Canaan Fair Trade is Canaan, C-A-N-A-A-N, CanonFairTrade.com.
CanonFairTrade.com. And here we would pronounce it Canaan, I believe. So it's C-A-N-A-A-N. C-A-N-A-A-N. CanonFairTrade.com. But it's actually pronounced Canon. So there's some other products other than olive oil. Currently, that seems to be your main focus. But you mentioned as well sun-dried couscous, sun-dried tomatoes, capers, almonds. There's a spice called za'atar. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
It's very good, by the way. I absolutely love that spice. Tahini. Can you talk about some of the other the products that you're getting into besides olive oil?
Well, the interest in these products came from extending the benefit of fair trade to create work opportunities for women, and not just work opportunities, because fair trade is also a social empowerment and a political empowerment. So we want women to be involved in the program. So we started by producing za'atar and couscous, which are traditionally produced by women. We formed women cooperatives to prepare these products, and the wheat and the flour is coming from the same farms and the same farmers pool that we work with, but we provide these products for the women to prepare them into couscous. And last year we were able to produce 5 metric tons of couscous through this program, and the program extends a microloan to women who don't have access to capital or work. Extends $500 to $1,000 microloan to the participant woman to use it for 2 years and produce these products. And between the work of PFTA in organizing and training, and Canaan finding the market for these products, we were able to set up 5 cooperatives that produce couscous and sun-dried tomatoes and za'atar last year. And these 5 cooperatives have 31 women members in them. And these members are represented in the general body of PFTA, just like the farming cooperatives. And we have 1 woman right now in our national board. Now, this program is being expanded this summer with the expansion of our wheat organic certification. We believe once we certify the wheat organic, we will be able to expand the market. So we are expanding the number of participants in the program this summer. So we're going to expand into 25 tons of production of sun-dried couscous, and expand our sun-dried tomatoes as well. And we are also introducing a new product, which is olive oil soap, that will be also produced by women cooperatives using the organic and fair trade certified olive oils that we produce through the farming cooperatives.
You're talking about Canaan Fair Trade right now. They're the firm.
The firm that markets,
uh-huh.
That buys and markets.
So Canaan, in addition to educating farmers on sustainable farming practices and supporting them converting to certified organic production, and also ensuring fair wages and paying sustainable prices for their products, it also says that Canaan implement social and economic empowerment programs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We support the farmer by various ways. First of all, the working just through cooperatives and through association that empowers the collective work that the farmers do. We support the farmers by returning parts of the profit to the co-op. For each co-op, other than the premium that we pay directly to the farmer, we return 1% of the purchases at the end of the year as return on from the profit that we make into the co-op. So each co-op gets a sum of money that need to be exposed of or used collectively by the co-op. and that is provided by Canaan at the end of the year. Also, Canaan Fair Trade provides a matching fund to PFTA, which is the National Palestine Fair Trade Association, the national union of the co-ops. A sum of all the 1% that go into all the co-ops is matched to be put in PFTA's budget. Also, Canaan Fair Trade gives from every bottle that we sell in the United States at retail, we give $1 towards a program administered by PFTA called Trees for Life. And Trees for Life allocates free olive trees seedlings to be planted by Palestinian farmers. And this program is to counter the Israeli army uprooting of Palestinian olive trees. So we foster the farming industry in Palestine, the olive industry, and keep planting trees and support the farmers to keep planting trees. Also, this year, Canaan Fair Trade is starting a new program. It's called, it's an actually education access program. It's called Canaan Scholarship Fund. And this is a fund that we're going to start to allocate scholarships, university scholarships, to students, children of farmers, by making priorities the farmers, the children of farmers whose parents did not attend college. So if you're a qualified student, neither of your parents attended college, we want to foster a culture of education and provide access to these communities to go to higher education and provide scholarships for these. And we think what we're going to start with is 10 scholarships this year. We think this is just a start, but we rather will, as we did with the Trees for Life program, we ask our distributors around the world to contribute to these funds, and it grows. And last year, we planted 3,600 trees in Trees for Life. This year, we planted 12,170 trees in the program. So there is a snowballing effect. We create the program, but we bring other resources other than what we have to put into it.
I'm speaking with Nasser Abu Farha. He is the chair of the Palestine Fair Trade Association from Jenin, which is based in Jenin. He's also the director of Canaan Fair Trade, and he has a PhD in cultural anthropology from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. I just have a couple more questions for you, Nasser. If you could talk a little bit about the microloan project, and then we can talk about how people here can support all of this.
Great. The microloan project is right now primarily geared towards creating work opportunities for women by giving them a small loan to produce products that in our assessments, in our programs, we think that we can create markets for. In other words, we don't just extend the loan, we extend the loan to a certain product, and an enabling program includes training and marketing in our program, so the woman could produce a product that we already have built a market for. And these microloans are extended for a period of 2 years for the participant member. And then they are reclaimed, and our assessment is that 2 years will be enough for the woman to be independently working with the buyers that we set them up with and producing these products. And then we take the money and allocate it to somebody else in the program and for future participants. People from the Center for Nonviolence here in Santa Cruz have contributed to this program. This program, by the way, strictly funded through grassroots. We've had donations from San Francisco, some from Canada, from the UK. We've had donations from churches. We've had donations from mosques. We've had donations from individuals. And most of our work is really supported grassroots, and it's a link between American solidarity and European solidarity grassroots to Palestinian grassroots directly. We don't have any larger donor agency funding our programs like the World Bank, the USAID, or anything like that.
So someone could make a donation through the Resource Center for Nonviolence to the microloan through the microloan project?
Yes, they could make a donation actually, and they also have a loan program, or they could make a loan. Say, I want to loan this money for 4 years to be used in the microloan project and get it back or reinvested in 4 years.
I see. So how, like, if somebody had, I don't know, $300 to make a loan, would that actually be something that would help?
It certainly would. I mean, our average loan is about $500.
So what would that go to? How would that work if someone wanted to make a contribution or a loan like that? Where would the money go? Give just an example. I know there's probably a lot of different places. You talked about many different, you know, cooperatives, the olive oil, the sun-dried tomatoes, this
sure.
Couscous and stuff.
Let's say if we're extending it to a woman to do couscous, because that's about the size of a couscous loan, that would give the woman that we recruit a new woman for the program and give her the $500 to buy wheat from the farmers who are certified organic, and to buy whatever tool, like, you know, pots and pans she need and to make the couscous, and she would use this money to produce the first amount of couscous and start selling it, and that money stays with her and for the next 2 years to continue producing. Or they could be used similar fashion for a woman that's going to produce olive oil soap. Olive oil soap, probably the loan we're extending is about $1,500, because it costs more to produce the volumes that to be. There are criteria of how we'd like to see this feasible for the woman and for the buyers. So that's how this $300 could be used.
Okay, so if people wanted to make a donation to support this microloan project, which, by the way, as you heard Nasser mention, really seems to be focused on helping women gain more opportunities.
The microloan is about helping women gain opportunities to associate, opportunities to produce and generate income.
Uh-huh. So if folks are interested in making a donation to that program, you can contact the Resource Center for Nonviolence.
Yes.
And their number is 423-1626. That's 831, area code 831-423-1626. You can also stop by their location at 515 Broadway during their open hours. That's at 515 Broadway in Santa Cruz. And I'm guessing the person you'd probably ask to speak to if you made a phone call over there would be Scott Kennedy. He'd be a good person to leave a message for or ask to speak with about this. Again, 423-1626 is their number. You can also go to their website. It's rcnv.org. That stands for Resource Center for Nonviolence, rcnv.org. And to learn more about the Palestine Fair Trade Association, go to palestinefairtrade.org. To learn more about Canaan Fair Trade, the firm that markets the various things we've been talking about, you can go to canaanfairtrade.com. That's CanaanFairTrade.com. That would be pronounced here Canaan, but it's apparently pronounced Canaan there. So CanaanFairTrade.com. And if you want to read about the oversight body in Sweden that certifies organic agriculture and management systems and is the
Switzerland,
their website is IMO.ch, and that stands for, in English, Institute for Market Ecology, www.imo.ch, to read about the oversight body in Switzerland that actually oversees the certification that's going on at the Palestine Fair Trade Association. Go ahead.
And if people would like to buy the olive oil, they can also, we have a distribution in Minnesota, that they can buy. They can go to CanaanFairTrade.com and find a way how they can order a case of olive oil.
Great. And so you would go to the CanaanFairTrade.com website to find out about that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Nasser, for coming in today, joining me in the studio. I really appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And so again, that was Nasser Abu Farha, chair of the Palestine Fair Trade Association and director of Canaan Fair Trade. Thanks so much for listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org.